Welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast, where health, nutrition, and love for the horse come together. This podcast is brought to you by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I'm your co-host, Kim Brown, along with equine nutritionist, Dr. Nicole Rambo.
Hello, Kim. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so good. I love this topic, and I can't wait to learn a little stuff that my daughter and I can use on our up-and-coming foal this year.
Oh, fun.
I know. So this really is my favorite time of the year in the horse industry, foaling time. Because when I lived in Kentucky, I used to be able to go out and get my foal fixed several times in the spring because I just love the baby so much. And now that I live in Wyoming, we only have about one foal per year in our herd. So I'm always worried about taking care of the young growing horse. And one of those concerns I learned to be careful about from the thoroughbred industry background that I had was the calcium phosphorus balance in youngsters. So can you explain to me and our listeners what that is and why it's so important?
Sure. This is definitely top of mind when I'm thinking about putting together a diet, both for my gestating and lactating mare and then my growing horse as well. So not only do we need to be worried about meeting that minimum daily requirement, but we also have to look at the balance of calcium and phosphorus in the growing horse's diet. And that, of course, extends to the mare as well. So the range is really, really tight. So when we look at the calcium to phosphorus ratio of the total diet, we're looking to keep things between one part calcium to one part phosphorus, up to two parts calcium and one part phosphorus for the growing horse. And of course, the mare that's growing that when it is her time to do so as well.
Okay, so how long do some breeds of horses grow? Because we're not just talking about a foal, a newborn, in this calcium-phosphorus balance.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we're most concerned during rapid growth. That's when the majority of bone is being laid down and the majority of things can go wrong. So thinking about during gestation and that horse's first year of life, it's the most important. But as you point out, some of our slower growing breeds, they're really not their mature size until much later. So at minimum, we want to keep that calcium to phosphorus ratio, you know, top of mind until 2 years old. But some of our warm bloods, our draftier types, certainly up to 3 years of age, I keep them on a growth type diet because they grow for so much longer. So absolutely the most impactful when they're young, but certainly something we want to think about to continue that quality growth while they are doing so.
So we're concerned because we want to make sure the growth in the bones, but is there anything about mineral absorption in the gut that the calcium and phosphorus affects?
Sure. I think probably kind of to back up. So thinking about the stuff that goes wrong, we have that minimum daily requirement. I would say a phosphorus deficiency is fairly rare. I'm not sure I've actually ever run into a functional phosphorus deficiency in a horse growing or otherwise. Calcium deficiencies, generally pretty rare as well. It's more so thinking about the balance of the two and when things can go wrong. So as you mentioned, you know, we have some competition for absorption in the gut. But thinking about, you know, calcium deficiency, if we were maybe feeding a grass hay and then just lots and lots of cereal grains, it is possible we could create an actual calcium deficiency. You know, a mature horse will pull calcium from their bones. So, you know, a gestating or lactating mare, her drive is to provide all of the nutrients to her fetus and then to her growing horse. So she'll actually leach the calcium from her own bones in order to make sure she provides enough, if possible, right? I guess it's theoretically possible that calcium deficiency could be so low we couldn't even achieve that. And then in the growing horse with, you know, a functional calcium deficiency, we won't get appropriate bone development. So you'll see skeletal deformities. More often, you know, we're looking at the issues of balance. So, you know, one issue of balance, maybe we're feeding a whole lot of high cereal grains, your corn, your oats. Those are higher in phosphorus. They don't have very much calcium. If we're feeding that with a grass type hay, we might be meeting the minimum calcium requirement, but overfeeding phosphorus. And the horse can adjust to the balance provided we meet the minimum phosphorus requirement and then feed more calcium than phosphorus. So at least 1-to-1, if not 2-to-1. But if we meet the calcium requirement but exceed the phosphorus balance, so we're feeding too much phosphorus, you have issues with the bone being replaced with connective tissue. So this would cause issues. Yeah, not a good thing. Issues in the growing horse, of course. But actually, this could even happen in the adult horse. It's called big head disease. So actually, you see a change in their skeleton. I would say that that's incredibly rare, right? More often, we might see some issues during development. You'd have to feed a lot of phosphorus. I will say I did have a situation, and it wasn't too big head disease, but had a group of mature horses having thyroid issues, which we ultimately tracked down to their hay was very high in phosphorus and low in calcium, which is a little bit surprising until we learned it was fertilized with poultry litter. So there are some interesting background things that can happen. So, you know, phosphorus being too high and not enough calcium is a potential in a growing horse's diet. I would see the balance issue that I see more often is that horses are meeting their minimum phosphorus requirement and we're actually feeding far too much calcium. You know, any of your legumes, so alfalfa would be a really common one, but clover will do the same thing as well, bring a lot of calcium into the diet. And in your mature horse, it's not a big deal. So those horses can tolerate up to 6 parts calcium to 1 part phosphorus. So we have a much wider range. But in your growing horse, going back to kind of what we talked about earlier, this competition, we don't entirely understand the mechanism, but we do know that too much calcium in the diet significantly increases your risk of developmental orthopedic disorders, specifically OCDs. Okay, so we can't visually see those, right? We'd have to look at an x-ray, and you often find those either when an animal is lame or you're doing a pre-purchase and you go, oh no, you know, they have one in their stifle or hock, whatever, and it can impact their future athletic career potentially. One we do see, and this is typically when I get calls about it, is these growing horses experience epiphysitis or fasciitis, which is inflammation of the growth plates, which visually we see as bigger knees, bigger ankles, and it's accompanied by some soreness as well. So too much calcium in the diet often comes from the type of hay we're using. We're meeting the minimum phosphorus requirement, but not enough phosphorus to offset that high amount of calcium in the diet, and then we see these growth-related issues. And I will plug here the power of the hay analysis. So we've talked in past, you know, podcast episodes about what we can learn from hay analysis, and most of the times I'm using a hay analysis with folks with, you know, mature horses, competing or not, when I'm troubleshooting problems. Maybe they have insulin resistance and we're trying to find the hay that keeps the sugars the lowest. Maybe they just don't look as good as we think they should. So we test the hay to like really, you know, put our hands around what the total diet is. In the breeding scenario, I absolutely recommend we leverage the power of that hay analysis as often as possible. Because as kind of this rough rule of thumb, we tend to say, well, if it's less than 50% legume, so alfalfa or clover, it's probably fine. In reality, I've seen tests that, you know, the amount of calcium that even a relatively small amounts of some alfalfa or clover bring into that diet really, really unbalance the diet. And that's most often where I'm seeing these growth related issues.
Okay, that's a little scary now that I'm thinking about where I live with so much of this alfalfa hay out here. So let's go back and just kind of tell me again, where do the young growing horses get their calcium and phosphorus, and how can it become imbalanced? So let's just very plainly for me so I can understand it.
So Kim, you can go home and like look in your feed room. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. And then I'm going to go get a hay test because dad burn, you know?
Yeah. So they're getting the majority of their calcium and phosphorus from the forage in their diet. So that's oftentimes a combination of pasture and hay, but you know, pending where you live, the time of year, sometimes that is all hay. And we have to recognize that pastures can be mixed. So certainly an overgrazed pasture in the Midwest could grow a lot of clover, really high in calcium. So that's what we want to think about. The majority is coming from our forage. So generally what I like to do is balance the rest of my diet to what is coming in from the forage. But every ingredient has minerals in it. So, you know, your growth type feed, we have ones that are balanced for a diet that is primarily grass, and ones that are balanced for a diet that is primarily legume. That's a nice way to balance things. And then sometimes people look at more individual ingredients. So like I mentioned, those cereal grains like oats would be a very traditional horse feed, low in calcium, higher in phosphorus. Things like wheat bran or rice bran are traditionally high phosphorus ingredients.
Okay.
You know, I sometimes see people balancing their hay with some of these ingredients, and, you know, we can balance the calcium to phosphorus ratio. I actually had a call just last week where they had a pretty high alfalfa hay, and they said, well, we're using oats to offset the high calcium with more phosphorus. I was like, okay, we are addressing one part of the diet that we know can impact the skeletal development. Okay, so we're addressing that calcium to phosphorus ratio. However, a lot of those things that I listed that are high in phosphorus are also high in sugar and starches. And we know, actually, this research came out of the thoroughbred industry, that feeding diets that are high in non-structural carbohydrates, both during gestation and to the growing horse, significantly increases the risk of the development of OCDs. So while this calcium to phosphorus ratio is really important, it can't be looked at in a vacuum in the sense of the growing horse's diet. So I don't want someone to walk away from this and go, ah, I have a lot of alfalfa in my hay. I should just throw some oats or some rice bran or whatever on top, because we may have addressed one part of developing a healthy skeleton and then just created another risk factor instead. So it's incredibly tricky.
Yeah. And that's a little scary. I mean, again, this is why I always have equine nutritionists who are my friends. And that's the great thing about this is, as we'll mention later, you can get help if you're a horse owner, especially with a young growing horse. And this is like us, we only have one a year. And maybe it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure, we didn't test the hay. Don't want to get this foal off on a bad thing. You can always get in touch with your feed dealers and talk to somebody like Dr. Rambo, who can actually give you the science behind why you want to do these things. Because it's a little scary when we're talking about developing OCD or, you know, improper mineral absorption and trying to do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need to do it yourself. You know, we are certainly here to help. You can reach out through our Facebook, Instagram, our website, tributeequinenutrition.com. Give us a call directly, and we have equine specialists who their whole job is to walk through the diet, whether you have one horse or many horses. And I'm always happy to look at a hay analysis. In fact, through one of our sales reps, I had a customer reach out, and they had 10 different lots of hay, and they were planning to sell some, planning to keep some. And, you know, we looked at those and said, you know, based on your feeding program today, it makes sense to keep these lots and sell those lots, you know, X, Y, Z, what best fits that scenario. And that's certainly something we are happy to help you work through. Because at the end of the day, like Kim and I were talking before we hit the record button about breeding season, and there's so many hopes and dreams that go into this.
Yes.
And some lows as well, unfortunately. But I look at nutrition as a risk management component as part of your breeding program. So you are doing all of this work to, you know, select the right mares, find a stallion that matches them. You have all of these goals. You've invested a lot of money in emotional investment as well. You know, nutrition does not guarantee that we'll have the outcome we hope, right? We know developmental orthopedic disorders, there's genetic components and some outside ones as well. But by getting the diet right, we can minimize the likelihood of those risks. And hopefully, you know, you'll either, whether you're producing them to sell or producing them to keep for yourselves, you'll have this, you know, athletic partner for many years to go that fulfills all of those hopes and dreams. And nutrition's an important component of that, from I would say before conception, you know, but all the way through that process, there's a lot we can do to manage risk.
Yeah. And with the breeding season coming up, maybe we should chat about that sometimes because, you know, some of these brood mares, you know, they need a little special TLC. But is there any final words on the calcium and phosphorus balance in young growing horses?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway would be test your forage. Let's know exactly what we're working with, and then we can balance the diet accordingly without forgetting, you know, the impact of all the other nutrients. There's important vitamins, minerals, amino acids, all of those things that are part of the whole picture. So this is just one part of a comprehensive diet for helping grow a happy, healthy, and hopefully productive member of society when it moves on into its next career.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rambo, for talking to us about this. I know I've learned some things today, and I'm sure some of our listeners have. And a big thanks to all of our listeners from around the world. And again, as we mentioned before, if you have questions or suggestions, make sure and visit Tribute Equine Nutrition's Facebook page, or you can even look for the link to contact us in the show notes for the podcast. And don't forget, you can go back and listen to many other equine health and nutrition topics on previous episodes of the Equine Connection podcast.
Thanks so much, Kim.